Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick. So, we are back, New Comedians. After last month's Father's Day show, we really needed a decent one. And that has been one of the best first acts we've ever had. Our first act on tonight was Josh Pugh. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Alex. Thanks for having me, mate.
Hello. Well, you were superb. You were one of the best first acts we've had, and it's traditionally a rock-hard slot.
Oh, cheers, mate. I didn't even know. I just came in and see my name on the board, but if I'd have known that.
Yeah. But cheers, well, I'm glad you didn't, because you played it as if you were headlining. They're a nice audience anyway.
Yeah,
tonight.
They are nice, mate. Yeah. There was a stag doing it at Hen doing, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were sort of very subdued, a bit older, weren't they?
Well, like, the stag do, I think, are in the 60s, and they've been great fun. They're on the front row. They've paid a pound each to get in, because they get pensioner rate. That's and they've been great fun. Some fellas only seven.
Shows it's worth finding love in later life, isn't it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us about you then. You have just won the English Comedian of the Year, haven't you?
Yeah, that was like, I think it was a week, getting on for 2 weeks ago now.
So what is that? Because you go, well, surely like Sean Locke would win
you think
that,
so,
or
you?
Bill
yeah.
Bailey or something.
Yeah, I mean, unless they were knocked out in the heat.
Maybe.
In the Ashby heat, like I weren't out, I don't know.
Is that where your heat
yeah,
was?
Yeah, that's where my heat was. So yeah, it's like various levels. I think you have to be going a year and a bit to have done it.
Right.
I've been going like 2 years. And so the final was at like Underbelly.
On the South Bank.
Yeah, so it was a good event. It was like Andrew Maxwell was emceeing.
Yeah, I know Maxwell.
It was awesome. There's loads of good acts. It's quite a long night.
Yeah.
But I went on early and it sort of went in my favour. So it's just, I think I do win 2 months in Australia.
Wow.
The end of January. So that's.
For the festival?
For the festival.
Imagine
yeah.
if not, yeah. if you just, yeah. just won a beach.
Just on a beach, yeah. I'd take that. But
so did you do some of that set or most of that set?
I did. So the final was 10 minutes. Tonight, let me think. No, I didn't do. Yeah, I did. I did bits of it. Yeah, I did bits of it. But I did sort of. Because it's a shorter set, it's a competition, you have to do like a bit gag. I did the gaggier stuff, really.
Yeah, yeah, because you've got, it's a really well, oh, I can't recommend you enough for a new comedian, especially that 20 minutes you did, about 20.
Yeah.
There's so many great techniques coming in, your callback that I loved that list of events where you do a bit of crowd work.
Yeah, the guy gave me a bit of a curveball.
He did.
But, yeah, it's all right. It's, yeah.
I think he was trying to. I don't know if he was trying to unsell you or he was just a bit embarrassed to
play.
I
didn't think he knew what day it was. I'm being honest.
Yeah, but you dealt with it so well. And then when that called back later on, there was a bit, and I'm sure we might hear a clip about that now, when you really brought the audience on about 8 minutes in, I think, and it was your poem.
But before that, I'm going to read this poem out loud. Works better. I can't believe it. Under my roof this whole time, in our house, you've ruined everything. That one's called asbestos. Thank you.
Yeah, I used to do that earlier, but I don't know. There's a few people doing poems. I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be the poem act. Do you know
what
I mean?
Oh God, no! You've only got two, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
three.
It's just jokes that don't work.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Jokes that don't work is jokes. That's all. That's what.
What I really liked about your style was there's some quite long bits, but everything's not really that related. It feels like at first.
Yeah.
And then as the set progresses, things keep reappearing.
That just developed, really, I think, didn't it? Like you write stuff and then that's a bit similar to that, and then you tie two together. But I quite like that. That's the kind of comedy I like.
I was watching you and I was like, wait, what's this remind me of? And I couldn't think. And when I was a student, it was about the time Harry Hill broke through, which would be about 93-94, and he'd just keep calling back all these little bits and nothing seemed to be related.
Yeah.
So you're not like him, it's not a rip, it's nothing like that.
I do love Harry Hill though, he's probably one of my favourite comics.
I love Harry Hill as well.
And he's so good and he's so alternative to bit and he's like prime time on TV.
Yeah. Well, TV Burp, I mean, me and the kids watch TV Burp, it's probably not been on for 5 years now, but we used to, at 7 o'clock at night, would be crying, laughing on a Saturday, just hurting, laughing. So if anybody wants to follow you on Twitter, I'm sure you'll like list where your gigs are going to be and stuff. How do they follow you on Twitter?
My handle, is that right? At Josh Pugh Comic.
At Josh Pugh Comic, right. Can't recommend Josh enough. If you get a chance to see him, check him out. He is hilarious. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
Nice one, Josh.
Cheers, mate.
Second on tonight on what is proving to be a great show so far, Pete Selwood.
Hello.
Hello, Pete. Now, I knew you from football.
Yeah.
We played footy on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know you were a comic, but you'd booked it independently with the Comedy Store or something.
Yeah, it must have been you I was emailing or someone.
Yeah.
And I was like, he saw it in my diary. I was like, is that the same one? I don't know. Like, is that the same, the old fella who plays on Tuesday? Is that
that one who skilled you? Was it you that are skilled? Totally skilled.
Yeah, and do you know what? I just said to them, I bet he mentions it.
Anyway, it's a podcast, not about me skilling you, but it was awesome.
The age difference is quite ridiculous, actually, as well. Yeah,
it's really. So, let's talk about, oh, God, Rich is just going to cut this anyway, so it's no point. Right, he won't let this go on. So, Pete, you were doing a 7-minute open spot, and the audience loved you. This happens quite a bit with open spots where the audience just reacts so well, and I say to them, what do you think? Should we book him for a full slot? So they were going mental for you. They loved it. Yeah. When did you know you'd got him?
First joke.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, like, it's one of those where, like, I normally have to have a little walk around, see if, like, there's another person who's more disabled than me.
Right.
Because otherwise, I feel like they're going to be looking at me going, like, mate, do you want to stop moaning? Like, it's not that much. You can't juggle, behave. Like, it's not worrying. But yeah, I think I've got to mention it early on, obviously.
So you've got, just because nobody can see, you've got one hand.
Yeah. Born with it. Like, but like, it's got to be mentioned early on. It's got to be like part of it. Because otherwise, I've tried to do gigs where I haven't mentioned it.
Yeah.
And then just after 5 minutes, I've noticed people are just looking at my hand. They're not paying attention to what I'm saying or anything like that.
So don't worry, I'm going to address the elephant in the room as early as possible, because there's no point in me coming on here doing a few jokes and you all going, yeah, Pete, this is funny, and that's all well and good, mate. What the fuck's going on there? So the more observant of you will have realised I've in fact been born with one hand. I think because I speak a little bit about disability in my act, a lot of people think I've kind of got a chip on my shoulder about it. But I don't really, to be honest with you. At the end of the day, yes, I was born with one hand. My brother is ginger, so I've taken it as a win. You can see my beard as well, mate. It's fucking ginger, innit?
I know it sounds ridiculous, but I understand it. I do understand it. So, like, if I make jokes like that, it becomes like I'm in control of the situation.
Well,
I'm in
control. It's not like you really go on about it. You just kind of do 3 one-liners or something like that, and it's just bang, bang, bang. And each one just is a slightly better joke, and each one just kills a bit more. And then, so by the time you're like 1 minute in, you could do anything then for the next like five minutes.
Yeah. I think it gets them all on board. Then I do like, obviously, it's like a small slot, so if I'm doing a bit longer, obviously, like, I like to do like a disabled sandwich, like, start with it, and I end with it, because I like that ending, and then in the middle I do what my brother calls real stand-up.
Right.
And my brother calls it, says, how's your gimmick going?
Yeah,
which is quite funny, actually.
Yeah, it's an extreme, the length some people will go to get writing a joke.
Yeah.
Now, Do you always stand there, like, pulling the mic back? Because you've got this, like, how long have you been gigging?
5 months. This is my fifth month.
5 months, right. The way you stand, it's like a real swaggery way to stand, where you're, like, leaning back, you're leaning the microphone back and just kind of toying with it, and you're just, like, throwing these jokes away.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, like, I can't walk around and do, like, I can't really use my body that much, because it does look a bit strange if I'm like throwing stuff around and like trying. So I can't really do that. So I think the best way is to just play with my, and it looks like I'm in control. Like a few of the lads that I gig with joke a lot about my lean.
Right.
It's becoming a thing, but I quite like it. Like some bloke said,
I do too.
Some bloke said, oh, you shouldn't mention around, you shouldn't lean. And I just looked at him like, that's literally all I do.
No.
I've got nothing else.
Do you know what? That audiences will tell you what you should and shouldn't do. And the, like when I was new, years ago, I was like probably like some of your friends now, saying, oh, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't do that. And now I just realised, God, I don't know anything. You've got to just find your own way. Yeah. And if you start dying on stage, that's when you know you're doing something a bit wrong.
Yeah.
But are you going up to Edinburgh to do open spots and stuff? Or?
I'm doing like some sports stuff.
Are you?
It's some lads called Gagster's Paradise. They're all new lads, but I think they just need a spot filling. I had planned to get through So You Think You're Funny, but I didn't.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, only 5 months. What you should just do is go to Edinburgh and just jump on any gig that'll let you really. You might be able to pick up 4 or 5 gigs a night. And
can you?
You just meet people and you meet like people who run venues and shows, and it's just the way to get on.
I just don't know the world. Like, I'm not struggling with the gigs. The gigs are all right. It's like it's a new world that I'm in, and like I don't understand it. Like, I'm on Facebook all the time now. I don't even.
Yeah, stay
I hate
off
it.
Facebook. Well, in fact, I don't know the rules anymore. When I started, all you needed to do was go to gigs, one, get drunk with people, two, and do nothing, and that's how you become a comic.
Yeah.
It should be born from like a will of not wanting to do a job. So if people want to follow you on Twitter, are you on Twitter?
@Pete_Selwood.
@Pete_Selwood, and Rich will put all the links up anyway, he always does. Thank you very much, you stormed it.
All right, cheers, cheers, man.
So, Pete Selwood absolutely destroyed it, and then the third act of the evening, Jack Kerwin, playing a character which is quite a rare occurrence for us, in comedy even.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm never going to come here again, am I?
No, you are, because it was absolutely superb. Do you do it as yourself and a character?
Yeah, I do. I've got a few characters, but my other characters kind of mix into my more normal routine.
Right, so your character is called Gary Poundland.
Yeah.
Which sounds like Poundland, but it's a big running joke that keeps reoccurring. It's beautifully written. It's such a great set, and you do it so well. Do you want to be a character comic? Do you want to be a stand-up comic? Do you not care?
I'm being pulled towards character comedy naturally. I think it's just how I am through observing people. Gary Poundland, there's a man at work called Andy Pony, and I wind him up by pretending I think his name's Poundland, and that's his voice, but that's the only link.
Right.
So, and I pinched the glasses from work as well. I
off
have
him.
That,
he's scrabbling around and
so
stuff.
It's just through observing stuff. I think I see that. I find that easier than straight stand-up. Even my straight stand-up is a character as well. I'm never actually myself on stage kind of thing.
It's strange. There's like a long tradition of people. Sorry, Rob, the show manager, just come in and said, we're going back in 5 minutes. And I can't wait this week, thank goodness, because it's been so good. There's a long tradition of... almost the most successful TV comedians were not stand-ups. They kind of did... Like, I'm thinking of, say, Harry Enfield started off doing characters, really. He never really did stand-up, I don't think.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Caroline Ahern about 20-odd years ago in a tent in Manchester as part of a comedy festival, being Caroline, and it was all right. And then the next time I saw her, she was doing Sister Mary Immaculate, this character, and she was so good.
You knew her then, I'm guessing, did you?
She was around a lot, it's sad. Depending on when you're listening to this, Caroline died a couple of weeks ago. Very sad.
Massive hero, I love her. Absolutely adore her. Royal Family's my favourite sitcom of all time.
Do you know what? You've got a touch of it, because Gary, if we try and describe Gary as a character, he's from a council estate, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a nosy neighbour, I think, who's... ranting about nothing. He's a bit of a pain in the bum.
He is a pain, and he turns up at the gig assuming it's like a council meeting.
Yeah.
And he's treating it like a council meeting, and he's just whinging and telling people off.
Yeah.
And we learned that he lives with a family of foxes.
11 foxes or
11 foxes. I can't remember what the man's called. The female's called Trixie.
Trixie and Stuart.
Trixie and Stuart. But it's those little details like that that show like how deeply it's written and how well observed it all is.
I say, I'm not a comedian. My name is Gary Poundland. That's spelled get at right, yeah? Gary. And Poundland is spelled put up with Nettler. I enter. I say, Poundland. Like a shop. We've got spelled the same. Anyway. I say, always laughing. It's always proper, what a joke. And I've got to get up for work tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I can't get to sleep because of the laughing. And some people around here have got kids. Not me. I've got a family of foxes living with me.
And your performance is super. Even everything you wear... I'm guessing Sports Direct feature quite heavily.
Yeah,
But what's really good about it, and in other hands, that could be a kind of hack character about some council estate.
Yeah, person. I have to be very careful. I'm working class, and I'm quite proud of that. But I'm always aware of what you say. And there were little bits before that I changed that were mentioned signing on, and I thought,
yeah,
that's punching down kind of thing. And I think there's enough on that on TV on Channel 4 and Channel 5.
Yeah,
you
know,
Benefit Street and that. So I have to avoid that big time and cut those bits out.
But what's really great is that, like, I think he's really human. You feel for him. I mean, obviously he's an idiot. He's an absolute idiot.
He's a nightmare. But he's harmless, I think.
He's harmless. And it's kind of tragic as well, because you only did, 10 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, I think 10.
To do this full character arc in such a short time. Really, really impressive. Oh, and this is why it's never going to go as well as stand-up. I've never seen a character act, with the exception of Al Murray actually, ever do as well as a stand-up.
Yeah.
But when you got those laughs, they come from a kind of different place, don't they?
Yeah, the little, I don't know, it's just the little things, really little things that sometimes you don't notice until afterwards and you think back and it's not necessarily the jokes, but turns of phrase, and I'll say, take sick of taking me for a Mickey.
Yeah, you do a lot of those. I think I call it malaprisms or something.
I'll take your word for that.
You do loads of you get slight words wrong and you say,
yeah,
you use the wrong tense here and there, and then you spell
those things up, really,
yeah,
fill out the character, really give him some flesh.
And you spell things out, and he's such a bore as well. Yeah. He's such a pedant and a bore. I really love him. Are you developing anything for him? Have you maybe gone to the radio?
It's going to be part of our show in Edinburgh this year with my friend Andrew McBurney and Damien Hoyd. He's going to feature in that. But there's
what's the show called?
The show's called The Late Night with Bobby Rooster. That's at the Tonic, the Caves, up the stairs.
And what is that part of the Free Fringe?
It's part of the Free Fringe. Yeah, we're on for the full run from 2:45. What I'm trying to plug, sorry.
It's no, that's what we want you to do. 2:45. Yeah, I couldn't recommend it. If it's all like that, if the other two were up to that level, it will. Show's 1 minute, says Paul in the background on a walkie talkie. Imagine if he starts slagging us off now.
Yeah.
No,
we can hear you.
Your Twitter, if people want to.
Is at Jack_Kerwin. Or you can find Gary Poundland on Facebook, which is Gary Poundland, he's spelled put up, wasn't it? Look. At the Poundland, like the shop, not spelt the same. He's got his own videos on Facebook as well.
Check him out, honestly. He's absolutely superb. Thank you very much, Jack.
Cheers, Al. Thank you very much,
mate. See you, dude. Okay, so we are back. It's the end of the show. The second half went as swimmingly well as the first half. I'm so happy they were the best audience ever. And there were tons of them. Opening up the second half for us was Matt
Bonanno.
Now, I asked you, it's funny when acts do this, it's good as well, really great start. I asked you how you pronounce your name before, and you went, I kind of don't mind if you pronounce it wrong, because it's like my first gag.
Hello. Thank you. Right, so, my surname. So, it's Bonanno, and it's an Italian surname, and it means good year. The thing is that most people, as you just heard, mispronounce it. They pronounce it as Bonanno, which in Italian means good anus. Not necessarily the first mental image I want people to have when they first see me. thanks. the reason I've got this surname is that I'm foreign. Sorry, Farage.
I've had gigs before where they've pronounced it properly. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because it totally messes up. Totally messes up your first joke. Have you always had that opening?
Everyone mispronounces it, but I've been trying different variations of it.
Like
I had some stuff where I was talked about bananas, and then it's been quite difficult finding a good opening,
opening gag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a few over the years, and you go, but the only thing, unless it's really specifically related to you, like your name or your appearance or something.
And that's what they all tend to mostly be at this.
Yes,
level.
They are. They definitely always are. And it's you'll do it for a while, and then maybe you'll go, it doesn't fit now with all the other stuff I've got. But you did a really, really good set. You kind of stuttered a bit in the middle.
I forgot my middle bit. That was
right. Because there was a bit, you were flying. You made such a good start. You're doing real well, really nice audience. And then just for a beat, you
missed it. Yeah.
And I wondered if it was because you were only doing a short set, like 5 minutes, if you just decided to.
Well, what I find is if I sort of go into the crowd.
Yeah.
Like with the, because there was the guy who looked like Nigel Farage.
Yeah, he was there all night. He was funny, wasn't he?
That was great. But, and then when I
tried. I'm sorry, that totally plays into the fact that you're half Maltese.
Yeah, foreign, yeah.
And you'd done bits about that. So, it worked really, really well, that bit.
It's just that, and then when I try and come back, it's like, uh-oh. Like, where was the link?
That's really hard to do when you're new, isn't it? Because it's like you put your set on pause.
Yeah. And then you just have a bit of fun.
You're riffing off the top of your head, and then you come back and you go, where's the pause button?
Yeah, and it's always a risk. And like, although I've done that before, I did another gig, I did the same thing, sort of went into the audience. This was at the very beginning of the gig where I'd said, I'm from Malta, and so it was like, woo! So I said, oh, are you from Malta? I was like, no. I've got nothing.
How long have you been doing it?
I've been in Manchester for a year. Well, just over a year.
Right.
So I've been doing it pretty regularly. And then before that, in Malta, I was doing it about 2 years, but like
so
very
you were
sporadically.
A comedian in Malta?
I did comedy. Occasionally.
Where would you do it? Is there a comedy club? Or
There was it was a friend of mine, a friend of a friend, started organising a gig at a Hard Rock Bar.
Oh, right, okay. So who went to that? Expats?
No, Maltese people as well, because Malta's one of the. Like I said, Malta was a colony, colony, so we've got quite a big English heritage kind of thing. Most people can speak English fairly, not with this accent, but fairly well. I got paid 25 euros for that first gig, which is it's all gone downhill.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's a good start.
But it didn't there was a lot of interest in stand up in the beginning, and then it just sort of petered out because as well there's like the same people, like same seven people just doing it over and over
that's
and over.
That's the problem, isn't it? That's
like such a small island and sort of.
So if people want to follow you, are you on Twitter?
I am, at Matt Bonanno.
Bonanno.
It's MattBonanner.
Oh, banana.
Just to make things even more complicated.
We'll put a link on the thing so people can follow you. Thanks, Matt, you were great.
No worries, it was a great gig.
Closing the show in absolutely splendid style was Rahul Kohli. Is that right?
That is correct. You pronounced it wrong on stage.
I did.
You said Rahul Kohli, and I was like, that's not my fucking name.
Do you know what? And that's like a vegetable, isn't it? Something a Kohli.
I've had worse. I was introduced in Newcastle once as Raji Kawi.
Raji.
And Raji Kawi in Newcastle. Raji means either fucking lunatic, chav, or mental. Cowie means ecstasy. So essentially somebody introduces mental ecstasy and the crowd were laughing their fucking heads off.
Well, I remember spelling it wrong somewhere because you did New Comedians for us about a year ago and I spelt it wrong. And obviously spell check's not helping me out at all. And I was like, oh, God. And it was that thing where I was searching through my emails to do it, you know, my iPhone, going, I don't want it because it's that racist element as well of any kind of mispronunciation and misspelling. And then I was like, oh, do you know what? That's close enough. Because it was to put you in a magazine or something to say.
People. Somebody pointed that. I didn't even realise you'd put me in that.
No.
I was like so appreciative of it. But then when I
then
came across
it,
I was like,
wrong.
Who the hell is Rahul Kohli? It's not my name.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant magazine that's been so supportive of us called The Skinny in the Northwest in Manchester. And they said, who were the three or four acts who came last year who did the best? And you were one of them. So tonight, about 3 days ago, somebody polled. This gig.
Because I literally just got it the other
day.
Yeah,
you just got it. Because you did it last year and stuff like that. And you're almost beyond this, aren't you? Because you're doing...
Well, just about. It's kind of like I'm just on the cusp, but I'm still doing a lot of those gigs for exposure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But also, you live in Manchester anyway. So you pop in and it's like a bit of beer money for...
It's a bit of beer money, but also you've got to bear in mind for me, like it's closing the store.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's still the comedy store, yeah.
Like when I was 15, the first time I thought... Ooh, I might be able to do this. Was watching, staying up at night on weekdays, screw myself for school the next day because I was just knackered. But I was watching Comedy Central live at the Comedy Store. I was watching your Roger Monkhouses, your Jason Cooks, your Kevin Bridges on that show. And so if this club come calling, I'll come running. So
now your show's called Newcastle Brown Mail.
That's correct.
It felt like I'd not seen most of that stuff you did tonight, and it was so current and so on the money. It worked really well.
Now, I've got a level with you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't tend to drink during performances, I'll be honest. However, I've been absolutely fucking hammered ever since Brexit, just to show you white folk I can integrate if pushed.
Well, I think I'm very lucky because it's real. It's real, and I think that's the most important thing. I was talking to somebody, and then I was saying was like... Because I like my politics, I like all that, and I like political comedy particularly, but I would rather watch somebody talk about going to the shops, if I think it's them, than watch them try and attempt political material, even though I'm interested in politics. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense, and do you know what? One of the worst things I hate is most political comedians, because it feels like a six-former doing jokes that are just really obvious, not that funny, and it's like, hey, then, look at me, I'm left-wing, and you...
Yes, and that's what I really...
And it's always left-wing,
yeah.
Which, you know, who cares?
You're both
as bad as each other. Yeah, you're both wrong.
Yeah, but, and I hate that as well, though, because, like, you know, I think we get very much trapped in our bubble as comics or as artists or as whatever, but if I, like... You know, when I'm doing my Brexit material, I cut my teeth on the open spots in your Hartlepools, your Middlesbrough, your Sunderlands. Now, I voted in, but I'm gigging there in towns that very much want to vote out.
It's
that are very
hard.
Strong supporters of UKIP. So I'm coming on, A, as the son of an immigrant, as a brown man, and I'm coming on as somebody who's got completely different political views than them.
Yes.
But I'm thinking, you know, it's the whole thing now. Oh, you might not want to do Brexit jokes because you could insult 52% of the room. I know full well if I'm doing them, I could insult 100% of the room. So learning to try and navigate around them and navigate around those rooms, I think, helped me a hell of a lot. And I like to do my political material. And then with this whole Brexit thing, so many people's eyes are on politics that those frames of references are just there for the audience.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like it's going to go over any of their heads. I mean, I want to be a clever comedian, but I don't ever want to be... I don't want to be a pretentious comedian. I don't want to... No. I'm an entertainer. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels
give
like
the room
you
what they
doing,
want. You're selling a service.
It feels like you're doing political comedy, but funny.
And it's so fresh.
So where's your show going to be in Edinburgh?
It's the Stand 4. The stage I'm at now is I know I can do a job. I know I can go on stage, rip it up, yada, yada, yada. And I feel like what I'm looking for now is just the right people in the industry to look my way.
If people want to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, have you got your own Facebook page?
Yes, my Facebook page is Rahul Kohli Comedian. I'll spell that out, given that you've spelled it wrong as many times as I can remember. Rahul Kohli Comedian. And on Twitter, I am Newcy Brownmail, NewcyBrownmale.
Right, well, Raji Gaj, thank you very much. Okay, well, thanks to all the new comedians that were part of the show tonight. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you made it this far, congratulations. If you want to share us and maybe rate and review us, that would be much appreciated. If you want to get in contact with me, my Twitter address is at ALXBoardman. So that's Alex Boardman without the E in. Thanks for listening. Come to a show.